Open with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. This is a special message I put together to encourage us in the new year. As we embark upon the new year, I want to turn our attention to keep on doing the good. I know as a believer it can get difficult, especially for those who have been saved for so many years and you're waiting for the Lord to come, and you can just kind of get weary. But I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. So I begin in verse 6 of chapter 6 and read through to verse 10. Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Galatia, and he tells them, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let's pray. Father, oh, may we accept the admonition of your word, and may it just challenge our hearts as we look forward to a new year. May we not be weary in well-doing, for you have called us to do good. You have called us to do ministry, and you have told us to do it in anticipating your return. Help us to stay plugged in. May your word touch our hearts. Hide me behind the cross, for Christ's sake, amen. Thank you. May be seated. Well, soon you're going to notice all the major news networks and the magazines put out their special stories recalling people and events that made news during 2018. Some people who made a difference for good and made a difference for hope in this world, like that of the late President George Bush. But one story I particularly liked was that of the Gary Sinise Foundation. Some of you might have seen the clip on that. They serve our nation by honoring those that defend us, our veterans, our first responders and their families, and those in need. They have what's known as the Snowball Express, and it serves the children of all of our fallen military heroes. It serves the surviving spouses and all Gold Star families. This year, they brought 1,000 children of our fallen heroes to the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. These families have the opportunity to bond with the only people who could truly understand and relate to their loss. And that was one another. There are many wonderful stories like this as we reminisce over 2018. What is your story? Did you make a difference in 2018? If not, don't be discouraged, because 2019 is right around the corner. You know, for most of us, we won't influence the world on a grand scale, but nonetheless, we can make a difference, as the songwriter Ida Ogden wrote, "Brighten the corner where you are." And here we are. It's now the last Sunday of another year, 2018. 2019 is waiting in the wings, just 2 days away. So will we have made a difference when 2019 comes to a close? Should the Lord tarry? God desires that His children do so. Paul commanded us to persevere in well-doing until the harvest is reaped. And I can understand, especially veteran believers, getting tired. But you know, there's no retirement in the Lord's army. It doesn't matter how old you are. God desires you to continue in ministry, in making a difference for the kingdom of God. You say, well, I'm bedridden. Well, you can still pray. I remember a pastor in Hammond, Indiana, who told of a wonderful elderly lady who was homebound and bedridden, but she could still use the telephone. And she would call the pastor and say, Pastor, what are you preaching Sunday? Where are you going to be preaching? And her ministry was to pray for the pastor's sermons, that God would bless them with mighty power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to continue to do good, regardless in the world that continues to advise us to do that which is wrong. Paul realized, just as I do, from time to time, faithful workers for the Lord Jesus, we can become weary. Amen? It's because we're human. And as human beings, yes, we are frail. This particular issue is addressed in a number of scriptures in the New Testament, and Galatians is one of them. And so this morning I want to share three things that I want to encourage you to continue to do as we embark upon 2019. Persist in sharing the good things that you have with others. Number two, persist in your own spiritual well-being. Persist in seeking that which is good in your spiritual life. And then third, and we'll pick this up in verse 9 and 10, persist in doing the good. We begin with verse 6 of Galatians 6. Paul says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. I know that King James, that might be a little clumsy and a little confusing to understand. And the reason for that is the word communicate. It's ambiguous in the English, because when we hear the word communicate, we think of talking, right? And some kind of medium to communicate. But the word there is actually the word koinonia. And I'm sure that you've all heard the Greek word koinonia, which means fellowship. Well, koinonio is sort of like the root word, and it conveys the idea to distribute or to share with others. The Apostle Paul used the word koinonio in Romans 12:13, and it's translated in the English, in our word, distributing. You remember Paul said that we are to distribute to the necessity of the saints. So Paul in this passage is saying, continue to be a blessing, to share with those who preach and teach the word of God, those in ministry. Continue to do good. Share your good. Supporting pastors and teachers and evangelists, ministers and missionaries. One of the things that I absolutely can commend the Dover First Baptist Church for is that in this particular area of ministry, you have continued to do well. In fact, when our evangelists and missionaries come, they always tell me They never get such a nice gift from other churches like they do here. And Paul is saying, don't stop being a blessing to those who bless you in the Word of God. And we know there are other passages that Paul says it's the responsibility of those who are receiving of the Word to give of their good temporal things. And so it's the admonition to continue to be a blessing. Koinonia is to share, and it is in the sense of active giving of all good things. And it doesn't have to be financial. It can be other things. It can be just your encouragement, your prayers. Just be supportive in 2019 of those who minister the gospel. But it is also a warning. It is the warning to be careful who we share those blessed, wonderful, good things with. We are to be mindful that there are people in ministry, many of them on TV and radio, who are in ministry for filthy lucre's sake. I don't like ministries that parade themselves and are proud that they give 10 cents on the dollar. And then they take the rest of your money and they buy jets and they buy elaborate swimming pools and homes in this state and that state and the other state. And then they beg you to send of your good thing so they can enrich themselves. God doesn't like ugly folks, and that's ugly. God didn't call the television to be the church. He established the church. And the local church is where God has called us to do our giving. We can give to missionaries. We can give to our community. We can give just about in every aspect of life through the local church. And God will bless it more than through any other agency. So continue to do that which is good. Then Paul admonishes that we persist in our own spiritual good. Don't give up reading your Bible. I know sometimes we get weary. We get tired of, you know, here it is, Wednesday night. I go to church again. You know, we can get that attitude. Oh, I got to get up and go to church. It's a good thing to get to church. I know a lot of times we're tired and we don't feel like it, but we're always blessed when we do. Amen? Keep on persisting in doing good. Keep on persisting in doing good to those who feed you the Word of God. Remember Solomon said this in Solomon, a book. He wrote the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. But in Proverbs 3, 27th verse, he says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. Go back to the Old Testament, and God designed the temple priesthood to be blessed by the people. They were to bring their sacrifices. And as we go back and we look, some of the sacrifices, we would call it butchered today, butchered and given to the priest so that priests could, you know, be fed. And then some was given to the poor so the poor could be fed. And God is saying here in this New Testament passage, we're not to stop doing that because we live in the 21st century. We're to continue to be a blessing to those who bless us in the Word. And persist in your own spiritual welfare. And why is that? Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Are you going to stay away from the Bible and stay away from Bible study and stay away from worship? Because if you do that, you're going to be feeding your flesh. We have to be careful that we feed our spirit. While the world tells us to do that which is immoral and sinful and many times politically correct, we simply must be determined to do that which is right and honoring in God's sight. We must persist in good spiritual things, feeding our soul. How do we feed our soul? Through the reading of the Word of God. We bathe ourselves in the teaching and the preaching of the Word. We fellowship one with another. We care for one another. One of the reasons why this morning I chose to talk about the Gary Sinise Foundation is because he has the right idea. Get people together that understand one another. They can minister to one another. The greatest fellowship we have in our church comes Wednesday night when born-again Christians get together. And we don't just study the Word of God. That's important. But we also take time to lift up one another and share one another, communicate to one another our needs and our problems. We are to bear ye one another's burdens. And the Bible says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law is that you love your neighbor. Love God, but also love each other. That will be a blessing to you spiritually. And I hope some of you will come on board Wednesday nights with us if you can. The principle of whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. It has application beyond giving and supporting teachers and pastors and missionaries. It has a general application in life. And it's a simple one. That we get out often what we put in. Amen? If you don't put anything into it, don't expect to get anything out of it. People want to be spiritual and they read their Bible once a month. Good luck with that. Or they offer a 10-cent prayer to God and expect a $1,000 answer. When I was a kid, and I've told this story many times, I'm not going to tell it all, but I was rudely awakened one day when I collected all these soda bottles and took them to the store to get reimbursed. But the problem was the bottle says, no deposit, no what? Return. I hadn't paid for anything. I hadn't got them at that store. And I remember the manager saying, you didn't get those here. He was right. So I couldn't get anything out. And we shouldn't expect that God's going to bless us with a great spiritual life and well-being. Well, we don't do what God's asking us to do. We don't come together, study the Bible. We don't read the Bible in devotional time. We don't spend time praying together. And then we're wondering why we're feeling so spiritually depressed. Because you haven't put anything into it. What a man sows at is what he also will reap. Now let me tell you, Paul's not promoting any kind of karma idea, lest you think that's what I'm talking about. I'm not. Paul simply relates the principle of sowing and reaping to the way we manage the resources before God. And he's given us all tremendous resources. You are all who are born again given special spiritual endowments, some more than one. Amen? Are you using them? That's what Paul's talking about. The giving of one's time, energy, resources, and so forth. So let me ask you this morning, what have you been sowing? God expects His children, saved people, to sow good things. You know, if we spend all our money and our energy on ourselves and waste all our time on that which is sinful and selfish, we will never be satisfied. The world is going to tell you that. Amen? The world's going to tell you, just get more and more and more, and you'll be happier. But that's not the truth. The fact is that God created us all to glorify Him. You will never be happiest apart from doing that which God created you to do. I'm always happier when I'm doing what blesses God. And so will you, and you will be blessed back. If you sow seeds of selfishness, well, what do you think you're going to reap? Yeah, you're going to reap to the flesh. The sinful nature that we all have says, oh, that's not enough, I need more. But more doesn't make us happy. You know, the farmer knows that if he or she plants wheat, well, what does the farmer get when it comes to harvest? The farmer gets wheat. That should be a simple understanding of this proverbial statement. So if you sow to your flesh, what do you think you're going to reap? Flesh. The only time I didn't see this work according to scripture is when my sister planted roses and came up weeds. But normally, if you plant wheat, you're going to get wheat, right? If you plant roses, you're going to come up roses. But spiritually speaking, if you plant discord, what does the Bible say? You're going to reap discord. Be careful of that. Solomon again warned in Proverbs 17, whosoever wardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from their house. Why? Because if you sow discord, you're going to get discord. But if you sow joy and peace and love, guess what you're going to reap? You're going to reap the things of the Spirit. If we want to reap of the Spirit, we should hesitate to sow to the flesh. Because if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. It's just a basic, simple principle. My encouragement to all of us is that as we come upon a new year, don't slip back or backslide. Thinking, well, you know what, I've been doing good for years, and this is what happens to a lot of people. It's time for me to take care of me. Amen? And then we start sowing to the flesh. And then as the year moves on, we're wondering, why are we depressed? Why don't I feel right? Why, when I go to church, I don't feel comfortable anymore? Because that which is flesh is flesh. But that which is spirit is spirit. Paul admonishes us, be not deceived. God's not mocked. You can't fool God. You can't be sown to the flesh and then come to church and you're going to be all spiritual. It doesn't work that way. Again, think of the farmer. Farmer plants corn. When it comes time for harvest, he gets corn. Now, I know there's other things involved in that and how we nurture and take care of it. Verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And included in that is abundant life. James, half-brother of the Lord Jesus, mentioned in chapter 4 of his book, verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so we got to be very careful about having this idea, well, you know, it's a new year and I've done the good for so long, you know, I'm just going to take a break. Listen, if you know that something is sin, you better stay away from it. Amen? If you know what is right and you don't do it, you know you should be studying the Bible. You know you should be praying. You should be doing for your brethren. You should be ministering in your church. And you don't do it, it's sin. I know you're getting upset with me, but folks, I didn't write it. I was preaching it. It's in the Bible. There's a lot of us give up doing the good and we think it's okay. And then we go back and we start sowing to the flesh. Listen to me. You've heard me say this many times. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Amen? I hate to say it, but it is true. But praise be to God. We have a God who's a God of the second chance. We mess up. But if we're willing to repent, God will give us a new heart. He'll give us a new life. He always has a plan B. But God knows your heart. You can't deny you know, the things of the flesh. You have to be honest with God. God, I'm a sinner. God, I have failed you in this. Please give me a second chance. I have to move on. We need to persist in doing the good. Verse 9, and I love this verse, and we're admonished not to be weary in well-doing or doing the good. Don't get tired of doing what's right. The word translated weary in the Greek means to lose heart. Some of you have been teaching Sunday school classes and Awana clubs for years, and maybe you're a bit weary, you're losing heart. Don't get discouraged. Now, I'm not saying there ain't a time to move on to a different ministry. I don't believe in retiring from ministry. There's no retirement in the Lord's army. Okay? And please don't misunderstand that. Pastor's not saying there's not a time to retire. Okay? I'm not talking about a vocation. I'm talking about ministry. Long before I was ever a paid full-time pastor, I was in ministry. In fact, I think I worked more hours back then than I even do now. And that's because we just loved it. We just loved being in ministry, the church, doing all different things. Served in the deacon board, served in the youth ministry, served as assistant pastor. We just loved it. No one had to give me any money for it. God says, yes, there's going to be times that you will be discouraged, but don't lose heart to the point where you give up. Paul said, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That's a promise. Keep on keeping on. The word translated faint there at the end of the passage, verse 9, literally means to loosen or to relax. Comes from the Greek word luo, to loose, to relax. And it was used of a bowstring that had lost its tension because it's loose. What happened? Some of you guys are bow hunters. In fact, you just finished the season of bow hunting. And if that string's too loose, what happens? You don't get the velocity on your strike, on your arrow, that you would if it's nice and it's tight. So don't lack spiritually, because you won't be as effective. Paul recognized an inescapable truth. Well-doing often, listen to me, I'm being frank with you and honest, produces emotional and physical exhaustion. We call it burnout today. And that's part and parcel of life. One reason for this is our good works never come to completion. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. How many of you here are done evangelizing? Anybody? You're done. You're done being a witness. You done? None of us are done. How many of us are done praying? You're done praying? No. But yet we could be weary in these things, amen? Paul said, don't give up on them. Why? You will read in due season. I've learned this, there's no time clock for parents to punch in or out, right? Those of you who are parents. Your kids come home from school at 3:30, and you say, Mom, just punched out at 3 o'clock. Maybe you like to say that. There's no punching out in the Christian ministry. And another reason for this is that the good often carries a sense of urgency, doesn't it? I've mentioned to you this morning a very pertinent prayer requests. They have a sense of urgency, which I hope that you'll take up the challenge and pray for the family of Rocco Carthy and Jody Sloss's dad, and on and on. I understand we get tired. Jesus said in the book of Matthew a wonderful admonition and encouragement. He said all of those who are labored and heavy laden, come unto me and I will what? Give you rest. Now he's not telling you I'm going to give you rest to the point where you don't have to do the work anymore. But God understands our human frailty. And it is important that we go to the Lord Jesus to get renewed strength, to get fresh oil, as it were. You can never outgive and never exhaust God's resources. Never. It's interesting in verse 10, he says, "And as we therefore have opportunity," and that's a blessing when God comes our way with opportunities. The word opportunity is the same word as season in the verse before it, where he says, "Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season," season and opportunity are the exact same Greek word. And it means a limited amount of time, a decisive period. Take advantage of these things at the proper time. How many of you, you know, you knew you should have maybe made an investment in a certain thing at a certain time, or you should have done a certain thing at a certain time, and that season came and went, and you were like, "Oh, I missed an opportunity." Don't miss an opportunity to be a blessing. To avoid this fainting, as it were, it is vital that we find time for spiritual well-doing. You have to feed your soul, folks. How many times have I told the story about the missionary who came to visit the pastor, and the pastor had the two beautiful dogs in the pen. And the missionary said, "Which one of the two beautiful dogs is stronger?" And the pastor looked and said, "The one I feed the most." Which one are you feeding the most? Your flesh or your spirit? Continue to feed your spirit. Don't get weary in doing what is right for your own spiritual growth, because in due season you will reap. In due season reminds us that there's a relationship between the seed time and harvest time. And we have opportunity between to do good. When they arrive, it's time to sow. For every opportunity, there's a period or time appointed for harvest. Do not miss the former, because you will lose the latter. I have to close. But I'm going to close with this illustration. There is a need to persevere. Listen to me, and I'm going to be done. But this is the truth that's not being preached anymore in our churches. And I think it's got to do with the fact that we're raising a snowflake generation. The builder generation knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I think most baby boomers know what I'm talking about. You got to persevere in life. God called us to give up as soon as the going gets rough. There's a doctrine in the New Testament. It's called the perseverance of the saints of God. You are to persevere in light of the world which we live. We're to persevere in light of the difficulties and the trials and the troubles that come. And we will reap in due time. And we don't always see the product or the finished product. A wonderful illustration of this truth, I think, is found in the man John Wycliffe. Many of you know there's a organization, a Christian organization, called the Wycliffe Bible Translators. They go all the way back to John Wycliffe in the 13th century. Wycliffe worked hard at giving us the Word of God in an English Bible that the commoner could understand. And he was hated for that. He wanted a Bible that anyone could read, not just the priest. He was declared by the Church of Rome an outlaw, a heretic. Why? Because the common person could pick up the Bible and read it and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to their heart. The priest wanted to hold it, luring it over their congregation. And by the way, if you read 1 Peter, we're told that we're not to be doing that. We're not to lure it over the people. When he finally finished, and it took years of painstaking work, wish I had time to go into all that, but when it was finished, there were no printing presses. not then. I don't think the printing press came till 14th century, right? Anyway. And so each copy had to be made by hand. It was slow, tedious, expensive. Then less than 2 years after the first copy was done, Wycliffe died. They drove him to his death. And years later, listen to this, years later, John Wycliffe was so hated by his enemies. Do you know that they dug up his bones? They burned them. And then they took his ashes and they scattered them in the Thames River. Because now the common person could have the wonderful opportunity of the Holy Spirit speaking to them. And the priests didn't want that. They wanted absolute control. But God raised up a man who did not live to see the fruit of his labor. And sometimes you work hard. I know you do. And you've been working in this ministry for years, and maybe you're a little discouraged because you don't see the fruit of your labor. And you know what? You might not. But 20 years from now, should the Lord tarry, God could raise up an evangelist from this church that could be world renowned. God could raise up a missionary in this church because of you and your encouragement, your love. So you don't want to give up because you will reap, but not in your time, in God's time. Let's have every head bowed, every eyes closed. Father God, you know I wanted to challenge our people this morning to look to the future with anticipation and not with reluctance. To see the future for what you have and not for what we want. So may your Holy Spirit encourage us to keep on doing the good. And what is right and honorable in your eyes, our Father. And we know that you will be compassionate, you will be loving, you will be kind, and you will be merciful. But Father, I lift up the good people of the Dover First Baptist Church. Continue to bless them in their giving. Continue to bless them in their spiritual growth. Continue to bless them, Father, to continue on doing good in ministry, knowing that you are a righteous judge, you are a righteous Father, and you truly will bless back in your time each and every one. Now, Father, if there's one among us who's not saved today, oh, may they know how much you love them. Look to the cross and see that Christ died a vicarious death for them, a substitutionary atonement, taking upon himself all sin of all men. And may, Father, the one or ones that are here that may not truly be saved, understand that you so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son. May they cry out, O God, I am a sinner. I know you love me and I accept Christ for the full payment of my sin. And I know that he not only died for me, but he rose again from the dead to justify me in your holy eyes. Thank you that you look at me as white as the driven snow because you see me through the eyes of your precious Son. Save that soul, O God, here today that may be near the gates of hell. Save them for Christ's sake, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take our songbook and go to 189. And as you do, I want to wish each and every one of you a happy and especially a healthy new year. We'll just sing the first stanza and we'll be dismissed.